Hello, my name is Joey Kelly, and you're listening to the Joey Kelly Broadcast. I believe and preach the old-fashioned gospel, the same thing that Paul and the other apostles preached. Jeremiah 6, verse 16 says, "Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls." And that's what we're going to talk about today. If you have your Bibles, please turn to the book of Luke, chapter 24. And if memory serves, next week will be in Isaiah chapter 53. Lord, you met us last time. Please help us again. Please give us understanding. Open your word to us. Help us to understand it and to see what it's talking about. We thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Again, if you want to stop me in the middle, do it. This is supposed to be a Bible study. It's not your fault I'm going to preach. By all means, stop me, ask questions, whatever you want to do. But Luke chapter 24. Now upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came to the sepulchre or the tomb, bringing spices that they had prepared and certain others with them. And they found the stone rolled away from the sepulchre. And you say, well, this sounds like what we did last week, and that's correct. This is a retelling, the empty tomb episode. But it's from another perspective, and we get slightly different details. The variations demonstrate that these events actually happen. Other so-called holy books, if it says that this happened, you get one version. You get a sanitized, you get the official version. But in order to get everything that was done and everything that was said, when they discovered that, hey, the tomb's empty and hey, he's alive, you have to read all four, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And really, you got to go to the Old Testament. But in the New Testament telling of it, the eyewitness accounts, you have to look at all four books. And the founders, if you want to say that, if Christianity is a religion, it's not. But if it was, the founders' imperfections show that the Bible is from heaven, given by God. If you start a religion, you've got a hero, you never tell anything bad about him. You only tell the good things. Moses had imperfections. Jacob had imperfections. David was a murderer and an adulterer. I guess he lied too, I don't know, but definitely he committed those two big sins. Either one of those two big sins, thou shalt not kill and thou shalt not commit adultery. The law said he ought to be stoned. Scratch your head. Why was he not punished according to the law? And there's a lot there. There's a lot there. You can find grace, the mercy and care of God in the Old Testament if you but open your eyes and read it. But why does it say in Matthew chapter 1, verse 1, the book of the generation of Jesus Christ, the son of the adulterer and murderer? If we're starting a religion, we want to make sure that he had an impeccable genealogy, if you want to even include that. We've got harlots in his genealogy. Jesus, the son of a whore? Yeah, the book says that. Because God doesn't have anything he's supposed to be protecting. You understand? He doesn't want to sweep the skeletons underneath the rug or keep them in the closet. Because he tells the truth. We know that it is the truth. You understand? But Matthew tells the story of Christ from the perspective of the King of the Jews. We understand that salvation is to the Jews. He came to the Jews. He said, I'm not going to go over there. Well, I went to Samaria once, but I'm not going to go to the Gentiles. My ministry's here to the Jews. He's king. Mark shows him as a servant who has no genealogy, who doesn't boast about himself, what have you. He's a servant. Luke shows Jesus Christ as a man full of the Holy Ghost. Many miracles, many great things, but the perspective is that he's a man empowered by the Spirit. And if you look at the book of John, you see Jesus as God. And you need all four, and the Old Testament, and the New Testament writers, the epistle writers, what have you. You need all these perspectives to get a full picture of Jesus Christ. You can't just single it out, and you certainly can't say, well, we don't want the Old Testament, because as we'll see in this chapter, with the Old Testament gone, you don't have anything. You don't have anything if you don't have the Old Testament. If you want to know about the Lord, you need a foundation in the Old. Because you really can't make sense of the New. And there's nothing that Jesus came to fulfill if you disregard the Old Testament. And if you disregard the Old Testament, he's not God and we're all dead in our sins. You must have the Old. But jumping down, verse 13. He said, and behold, or it says, and behold, two of the disciples, not the 11 or 12, remember there was one that died. Two of them went the same day, the resurrection day, that Sunday, to a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem about 70 furlongs. If a furlong is correct, then that's 7.5 miles. A furlong's an eighth of a mile. There were 60 of them, 7.5 miles, if it is, in fact, the furlong. It's some measure. And they talked together of all these things which had happened. Well, yeah, I mean, it's the biggest thing that ever happened in the history of Israel. I mean, I guess, you know, they thought Moses was bigger in the Red Sea, but really, this great prophet came. And he healed the sick everywhere he went, except when they threw him out, told him to get back in his boat. He raised the dead. He cast out devils. He preached the best sermons anyone could ever imagine. He rebuked the Pharisees. And they never caught him. They tried to trip him up. The Pharisees never tripped him up. And so they had to go from wherever they were to this little wide spot in the road, Emmaus, little village. And they talked about the events. And it came to pass that in verse 15, while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near and went with them, walked with them. But their eyes were holding or held that they should not know him. Could chase a rabbit there, but again, like we said last time, for 3.5 years, his ministry took place. And everybody knew everything about him, supposedly. But he was crucified and now risen from the dead. But their eyes were somehow shut or blinded or what have you, that they wouldn't recognize. And he said unto them, Jesus said to those two guys, what y'all talking about? If I can switch to English. What y'all talking about, and why are you so down in the mouth? Why are you so sad? And they said, you got to be kidding. I mean, are you not from around here, stranger to Jerusalem? Haven't you heard? And they told about the Messiah. They told about when he healed Lazarus. They told when he did this and he did that, and he told everything. And we trusted that he was going to be the one that would redeem Israel. They condemned him and they crucified him. And besides this is the third day since these things were done. And they told the whole story. Their concept of Israel's redemption was the rise of a victorious king. They remembered David. They remember other things. They remember Solomon. Some of the other guys were all right, I guess. Hezekiah, what have you. They remember the glory days, but Rome was now in charge. And in their minds, they said, well, we believe the Messiah is coming and he's gonna get rid of Rome. He's going to set up his kingdom, the kingdom of David. And that's correct. But not now. If you go to Genesis chapter 49, you don't have to go, but read it later. You'll read of the Messiah. There are prophecies over each of the 12 sons. And we know that Jesus, we read in Matthew and in Luke, the genealogy, that he's of the tribe of Judah. But it also says that he's the tribe of Joseph. Very plainly says that the rock and the shepherd is of the tribe of Joseph. We know David was a victorious king. We know that Jesus is the son of David. He's a victorious king, but there's the suffering Messiah that they didn't get. They didn't he had talked about it again and again and again. Ever since Matthew chapter 16, we said he began to openly tell them and explain. They didn't get it. And they watched exactly what he said. He was betrayed. He was tried, falsely convicted, condemned, nailed to the cross, dropped in the hole, died. Was in the ground 3 days, and they were saying that this just happened 3 days ago, just like he said, but their eyes were holding, that they shouldn't know him. And we'll read a little bit more about what they were saying. They didn't understand the scriptures, and in their minds, they're looking for a victorious king, not a suffering servant. But Jesus is the suffering servant. That's the gospel. That's the good news. We talk about Calvary. But he is coming again. And he is the victorious king. Really, he's victorious over sin. Both things were done at his first coming. But he's coming again. And you cannot separate the first and the second coming. It's the same person. He's got a job to do. He did part of it then. He's going to do part of it in the future. Set up his kingdom that'll never pass away. He's the Messiah. He came the first time. His kingdom will never pass away except there's a big gap in time. You understand? 2,000 years so far. But they didn't get it. The natural man simply cannot conceive of what this is all about. The natural mind just can't get it. These two demonstrate it. They told the story of all that happened, but they didn't get it. There has to be illumination. God, the Holy Ghost, has to do something in your heart and in your mind to help you to understand. It's called illumination. It has to be revelation. I remember when I got saved. I'd been witnessed to here and witnessed to there, and finally God came to me, and I knew it was Him, and I told the story before, and I'll tell it a bunch more times, but when I said, yes, okay, I will serve you, do what you want me to do, etc. And I remember I was facing toward the door, and I turned toward the window in the other corner, and I saw Jesus Christ hanging on the cross, and I had one thought. He died for me. That's what He showed me. After I finished shouting and thanking God that He had delivered me from the bars and delivered me from drugs and drinking, I had a Bible and I read it, and I read 4 chapters, 5 chapters in the book of Matthew, would have you. My roommate came in and I started to witness to him. I'm 2 years old in the Lord. I got my great Bible college education, read 5 chapters in the book of Matthew. And looking back, everything I said, you know, when you try to witness to somebody, they'll give this excuse and that reason, and I answered him right every time. Not because of me. Not because of, I didn't know nothing, but God, the revelation, helped me to understand. I love to tell the story. Got to stop, got to move on, but I'm so glad I'm born again. I'm so glad I'm delivered. But illumination and revelation are necessary. A head knowledge won't do and will not save. Conversion and salvation is a supernatural event, not a religious happening. Verse 22 to 24, it says that they told, we studied last week, that the women came and they saw the empty tomb, and Peter came and saw the empty tomb, and we got all, man, we don't know what to do about that. And then somebody else came and said that he was alive. They saw him, and it's like, it really messed with our minds, and they just didn't get it. They had witnesses that saw it. They saw the empty tomb, the napkin apart by it. So they saw all this stuff. And they even had people saying, we saw him alive. And they didn't understand. And they didn't get it. I mean, what more do they need, right? But then in verse 25 through 27, again, Jesus, I guess I kind of skipped over it a little bit, but when he first got into step with them, he said, why are y'all all sad and whatever? And he didn't lie to them. He asked questions. Well, what y'all talking about? They didn't hear all the things, you know, all this stuff in Jerusalem. And he said, what things? He sort of halfway played dumb for a reason, to get them to talk, to get them to think. And they recounted the testimony. But then he stops playing dumb. In verse 25 to 27, he said unto them, thou fools and slow of heart to believe not what was said about the empty tomb. But they needed to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Old Testament. This is Resurrection Day. I'm so glad we got 27 more books. That's great. But on Resurrection Day, nobody ever thought, hey, I'm going to write the book of Romans. Nobody ever thought that. No New Testament existed. But Jesus went to the Old Testament, the only Bible they had, and said, you ought to believe what the prophets said. And he said in verse 26, shouldn't Christ have suffered those things and entered into his glory? And beginning at Moses, when we say Moses, yes, there's the man, but there's the law, the Pentateuch, the five books, the first five books, Moses, books he wrote. And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. Again, lo, in the volume of the book, it is written of me. Everything you want to know about Jesus, except maybe his name, you can find in the Old Testament. And that's what he did. He went to the Old Testament, as we call it, the Hebrew Scriptures, and he showed, started at Moses and went on through the book. Right? In every one, every book, we count it 39, every book you can find redemption. Every book. Prophecy after prophecy after prophecy. Symbol after symbol. Foreshadowing or type after foreshadowing. He's all over it. But this 7.5 miles, it took 2 or 3 hours to get, maybe a little bit longer because it was rocky. I don't know. Back then, if all you did was walk, you can walk pretty good, right? A normal gait is about 4 miles an hour. If you step on it, you can make 5. I used to walk 4 miles back and forth to work for about a year. I know about that. I had a lot of fun. Not. But during this time, this couple of hours, what have you, he begins to preach Christ, the Messiah, from the Old Testament. He doesn't say, here, this is me. But he preaches the Scriptures. And it says that, verse 28, 29, it says that they got to where they were going and, you know, it's getting late and Jesus, hey, why don't you, you know, well, they didn't know who he was. But to Jesus, they said, hey, you know, why don't you stay? It's kind of getting late, you know, I don't know where you're going. And it says he wanted to go on. But they made him stay. A number of things there. Let me throw something at you. God come in the flesh. Spends time late in the day talking to these two and discussing the Scriptures. Genesis 3, verse 8. Adam and Eve, 2. Heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. Sun starts getting down. It's cool of the day. Jesus was walking with these two in the cool of the... Man, that blew me away when I saw that. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, you'll find evidence of Jesus Christ all over the Old Testament. All over. God still enjoys walking and fellowshipping with those that he loves. John 15, verse 15. Henceforth I call you not servants. Now every time you read Paul, the servant of Jesus Christ, and that's fine. I'm a nothing. Without Jesus, I'm nothing. But he says, henceforth I call you not servants, but friends. He wants to fellowship with us. And he's God and he's Almighty. And I'm nothing, just a piece of dirt. But he calls me his equal. In that regard, he wants to be my friend. Hallelujah. 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 Thank God. But it says in verse 30, and it came to pass that as he sat at meat, or they had supper, as he sat at meat with them, that he took bread and blessed it, and break and gave to them. And you'll find that in all four Gospels. You'll find that Jesus did this all the time. He took bread and he blessed or prayed, thank God for it, and he broke it and he passed it out. And it says in verse 31 that their eyes were opened and they knew him. And he vanished out of their sight. And he said, didn't our hearts burn within us when we were walking that couple of miles or couple of hours or whatever it was? Didn't, man, he was talking about the scriptures and what happened with David and what, man, we knew something was in our heart. Our hearts burned within us. But they didn't get it until they saw him take bread and bless it, and break it, and give it. Then they knew him. This is something he did all the time. This was his way. And they recognized his mannerisms. Now, they had the testimony from all those people that, hey, the empty tomb, and hey, somebody even said they saw him. And they had the testimony of all the scriptures from Moses and the prophets that Jesus himself taught. But it wasn't until they saw him bless the food that they understood who it was. That's astounding.
You've been listening to the Joey Kelly Broadcast. I hope you've enjoyed the program today and pray that the Lord has convinced you to follow Jesus in the way. If you want to know more about the ministry, you can visit my website at joeykelly.net/ministry. That's joeykelly.net/ministry. And you can read about the missions work that I do down in Haiti. Or if you like, you can write me at 324 Codifer Boulevard, number 9. That's Codifer Boulevard, number 9, Metairie, Louisiana, 7005. And until next time, this is Evangelist Joey Kelly encouraging my friends to take your burdens to the Lord and leave them there.